paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
WGN. Patty Vasquez is out. I'm James Van Alstel, in for her. Joined in the studio by Jesse Valenciana, the man behind Man BQ. Hello, Jesse.
Hey.
Hang on. Hello, Jesse.
Am I on now?
No. There we go. You've arrived. So Man BQ, one cookbook to Man BQ's credit.
Yeah.
Another one on the way. Man BQ is the elevator pitch.
A grilling club. It's a society of grilling, meat, beer, rock and roll, an all-encompassing organization.
You do events. You have one cookbook. Another on the
working
way.
On the second one, we're doing like a brewery tour this Saturday. We do a lot of very interactive events, you know, cooking events, beer educational events, and rock and roll is the backbone of the whole thing.
As it should be.
Yeah.
You like the psychedelic furs? We just heard the psychedelic furs.
You're giving me this look like I should.
You should. You totally should.
They're okay. Yeah. I'm not crazy about them.
So the new cookbook is available for pre-order now on Amazon.
Yeah.
It is Eat Street, the Man BQ Guide to Making Street Food at Home. What is street food? I think we all have an idea of what street food is, but what is it?
Grilled rats and stuff like that.
No.
It's different. In every city you go to in the United States, there's a little bit of a kind of different twist on street food. I was in Thailand a couple years ago, and they had like grilled octopi on skewers. Then you go to Mexico, and it's, you know, something as simple as a taco to like different sandwiches made with like cacti slices and stuff. So every culture, every country, and in the United States, every city's got kind of their version of what street food is.
I would imagine that creating a cookbook is very difficult. I mean, it's you have to figure out what recipes you want to do, and then the actual creating the recipes, like cooking and trial and error and making sure it's right before you commit it to print. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, you know, this year was pretty tricky for me. I was traveling so much for work. So John Carruthers and John Scholl, the other authors on the book, they did so much of the work because they were actually at home. But it's finding that time. And, you know, some recipes you hit a home run off the bat. Other recipes, and this happened a lot in the first book, you know, you're in the kitchen for a whole day, you know, trying, let's say, three different recipes, and you're lucky if one comes out okay, and then you have to retry it and retry it. You know, for
it's
me,
like
this
science.
Year, yeah. And I was never good at science, so maybe my recipes aren't that good. I don't know.
That's kind of my point. Like, you can't walk away from it until you know it's good, because you know someone's going to follow in your footsteps, and 1, 2, 3 hours later, it better be right.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, what we kind of have a little bit of leeway, because we have made the recipes the way we kind of know them and how we want them to be. But it also sets it up so other people can try, you know, different takes on these recipes. So when the first book came out, a lot of people were like, oh, I tried this one recipe, but I used this spice instead of that, and it tasted better. And it's like, cool. You know, if you can find a twist on it, do it.
Now, working with the other two Johns who you mentioned, does collaboration make the process easier or harder? It seems to me it would make it much harder.
No, it's actually like we've all known each other for so long, you know, we kind of know each other's tendencies and stuff. So when you have guys that good at what they do, it makes it really easy actually. So
I would just think the coordination would be difficult. Like it's a lot of Google Drive sheets going back and forth.
Yeah. It's again, we got used to it with the first book, and you know, just running Man BQ itself, you kind of get used to having like, we're, you know, John has on his Twitter one of the three heads of the Hydra that is Man BQ, but it really is that way.
Were there recipes you thought for sure would make the book, but then when you made them and the pressure was on, you thought, no, there's no way we're putting this in there?
On my side, for my recipes, all the ones that I really wanted in there made it. There's a couple that once I walked away and submitted all of mine, you know, I was like, oh, man, I should have done this or I should have done that. But, hey, maybe there's a third book, right?
There was a recipe that John Carruthers raved about on social media, the roast pork grinder.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds amazing.
That guy is, he's like whole other level. I mean, I'm in awe at what he does. And John Scholl, same thing. I mean, like, is it possible to be a fan of your friends? I think so.
Yeah, that's what a bromance is all about.
We're like beyond bromance. We're these old married couples now, all three of us. It's
I could see that.
Yeah.
Another thing you address in Eat Street, the Man BQ Guide to Making Street Food at Home, outdoor brick ovens. I've always wanted to do an outdoor brick oven. Seems like it would be a hard thing to do. How is that done?
That I should let John talk about that. That was his thing. I rely on grills a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, we were kind of, for street food, for me, it was like, okay, we can use a fryer. So I went crazy. My friend Ben had a fryer, so I wanted to fry everything. And for street food, I'm like, that's my favorite food is fried street food. And then, you know, makeshift grills are pretty awesome too. You know, just seeing what people have and going back to the whole Thailand thing, they don't have charcoal in Thailand. They don't, when I went out there, that's not something that they manufacture or produce. It was super weird. They had bags of charcoal, these small bags of charcoal for like $50.
Oh my God.
And I didn't know. So I'm like, what are these people cooking with? And they're like, oh, they just don't manufacture that on the island.
So what do they cook with?
So they just find wood and like kindling and stuff and cook over that. And some of the carts that I saw, it was, didn't look safe, but the food off of them was amazing.
You have beer pairings for every recipe. Does your beer authority just come from practice?
It does. Look at my belly. You tell me.
Speaking of which, I don't know if you saw this article. This is the perfect transition. Your beer belly may kill you. This was in CNN.
Oh, no.
CNN.com. Even if your arms, legs, and butt are skinny, you should be concerned if you have a pot belly. Men with pot bellies have twice the mortality risk of people who are overweight or obese.
Oh, Lord.
Women with a similar fat distribution had a 1.5 higher risk for death. So the beer belly may actually kill you.
This might be my last interview with you. Let's make it a good one.
Yeah, we really have to make this count. We'll keep you here till the burlesque group comes in at 1. That really is happening, by the way.
I'm going to sit in the corner like a creep.
Yeah, that's fine. You're excellent at that. All right, let's take a break. Jesse Valenciano from Man BQ is here. The new cookbook is available for pre-order on Amazon. It is Eat Street, the Man BQ Guide to Making Street Food at Home. The first cookbook was awesome. I'd imagine more of the same. We'll take a quick break and have more on WGN. WGN. I'm James Van Osel, joined in the studio by Jesse Valenciano of Man BQ, a grilling club. Meat, beer, rock and roll are the three pillars on which Man BQ is built. The new cookbook, Eat Street, the Man BQ Guide to Making Street Food at Home, is available for pre-order on Amazon. It would make a striking gift for anyone.
I completely agree.
We talked a little bit about some of the recipes that are in there. I was just glancing through the galleys of this book. The photography is like, this is food porn.
Yeah, it completely is. Clayton Hawk is our photographer, Chicago guy, and he's amazing. That guy's worked his way up and just done a bunch of really awesome stuff. And it was, you know, honestly, I'm fanboying out again, but his work has been great. So when we did the first book, I might be mistaken, but I'm almost 100% sure that was the first time he did food pictures.
Wow.
Or photography. And it's, you saw the first book. I mean,
it looks beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, and the words on there are one thing, but if you don't have these like really strong images like that, they can fall flat a little bit.
Oh my God. I'm going through this book. Nashville Hot Chicken.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
You realize that's the next thing that's rolling in.
Oh, it's huge.
There's a place in Evanston that just opened up. Jared from Rubs is opening up his concept in Lincoln Square.
Uh-huh.
There's The Roost.
I love The Roost so much.
Nashville Hot is becoming a thing.
Yeah.
But you also have a recipe in here for fried jardinera.
Yeah.
Fried jardinera.
Uh-huh.
From Hot Doug Sohn.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That guy, I mean, he's got his own book, but I mean, he's one of our heroes, he's one of our mentors, and, you know, he's become a friend. He's a great guy.
I just recorded a podcast with him last night.
I saw that.
We went over to Lily's Q in Wicker Park.
He's such a great guy. It's amazing just how nice he is and, you know, how willing he always was to support us. And we had a hot dog that was on the first cookbook that was on his menu, on his celebrity menu, for about 4 weeks.
And which one was that?
The Unholy Mole dog. It was this like multi-layered. It's the hot dog that won us our first Gaper's Block hot dog competition.
Well done. Speaking of hot dogs, I don't know if you saw this. The National Hot Dog and Sausage Council, that's a thing, just weighed in on one of the biggest debates. Is the hot dog a sandwich?
Oh, man. If it's not a sandwich, what is it?
Its own thing. The National Hot Dog and Sausage Council has ruled Hot dogs are not sandwiches. Limiting the hot dog significance by saying it's just a sandwich is like calling the Dalai Lama just a guy, the president of this organization said. Perhaps at one time its importance could be limited by forcing it into a larger sandwich category, but that time has passed. We therefore choose to take a cue from a great performer and declare our namesake be a hot dog formerly known as a sandwich.
And the crowd goes wild.
Hot dogs are singularities.
I'm glad that they're not just lumped into the sandwich category, actually.
Are you sure, though? Is it kind of like how Pluto's not a planet? Is it that sort of risk that it's not a sandwich now?
It's weird saying that Pluto is not a planet now. So maybe if we said it was, if a hot dog was a sandwich, like in 10 years, we can have a conversation and be like, you know, at one point, hot dogs weren't a sandwich.
Primitive cultures used to believe that. Here's another. Well, I'm on the topic of food type news. An attempt. This sounds like a Man BQ moment gone wrong. An attempt to cook the world's hottest chili forces an evacuation of college housing. Students at Manchester University were trying to make the hottest chili ever, and it got so bad, the students thought there was a gas leak. Things went wrong. The fire department was called. The kids were running out of this, I guess it was a fraternity house, coughing, sputtering. Don't know what was involved with the recipe. I would assume something ghost peppery.
Well, you know, realistically, if you roast any kind of chili, I use a lot of arbol chilies in my recipes, and I like to, you get them dehydrated, and then you roast them for a little bit, and that alone, like, and it takes 3 seconds per side, pretty much, to get that thing nice and roasty, but in those 6 seconds, you're making your house a hellhole. It's terrible.
It literally is like being in the bowels
of
hell.
It really is.
Yeah. It's fiery.
Yeah, I'm walking around coughing. My neighbor probably thinks I'm smoking pot or something because it's just like, it's terrible. I hate it, but it's so good.
And, you know, everything we do and enjoy, really everything Man BQ is built on has been vilified. You know, the World Health Organization said that processed meats will kill you. And then a new study from University of Texas says that grilled meat is linked to kidney cancer.
Oh, man.
Did you see that?
No. Every day there's something new. I feel like I think we've done our job as Man BQ if they're after us. This is great.
Grilled meat. You can't catch a break anywhere you go.
You know, 100% of people die. That's the only math I know. So live it up. Enjoy it.
Go down swinging.
Yeah. That's what Man BQ is all about. That should be our new tagline. Man BQ, go down swinging.
That's right. Grill it up. Do you have a go-to when you're grilling at home and you just want to do something quick?
Flank steak is always... I do this coffee rub that I've been doing for years, and it's easy. It's super tasty, and flank steak's one of my favorite cuts of meat. Or even hanger steak. Hanger steak's a little bit more expensive, but it's a beautiful cut of meat, and you can just grill it.
Yeah, you're a beautiful cut of meat.
Oh, thank you. Uh-huh. You say that to all your guests.
I do. I said it to Danny Vankovich.
Great.
No less than 30 minutes ago.
But, yeah, I mean, anything like that. Flank steak, skirt steak, and hanger steak are my go-tos.
Love it. Speaking of food news, while I'm on the topic, I got all these headlines in front of me. Jack in the Box just turned their curly fries into nachos. It's a smart play. Topping the fries with nacho cheese and slices of jalapenos.
Oh.
There are no Jack in the Boxes in the Chicago area anymore. I think they're all West Coast at this point, aren't they?
No, there's some. I have a coworker, Patrick Reich, who everywhere we travel together, right, for work, and any city we've been in, that guy will tell you exactly where the nearest Jack in the Box is without like using his phone. He'll be like, oh, yeah, there's a Jack in the Box.
He's like Google Maps, but for Jack in the Box.
For Jack in the Box. It's the weirdest thing.
I remember years ago when I was a kid, I mean, this was decades ago, I'm pretty sure there was a Jack in the Box at the Hollywood and Ridge intersection. I remember that from my childhood when I grew up in Rogers Park. I could be misremembering that, but that's the only one I think I was ever aware of in the Illinois area.
Well, what is the chain? Is it Hardee's? It's like in one part of the country it's Hardee's, on the other side it's Jack in the Box. Is that it?
Oh, I don't know. Is it kind of like Cicero and Crawford? You cross a line and it changes names?
No. It's you know how...
Or Pulaski and Crawford, sorry.
It's how we have White Castle, and then you go south, and it's like Crystal Burgers.
This is all news to me.
What? Really?
You're talking crazy talk
at
this point.
Yeah, yeah. I think Hardee's is is Hardee's in some states and Jack in the Box in the other. I could be mistaken.
And I don't know if you saw that McDonald's will be offering $1 mozzarella sticks nationwide.
They're trying to kill everybody.
I think bar food, I mean, kind of what you were saying earlier, bar food may be my favorite kind of cuisine.
I would go with that.
Jalapeno poppers, wings.
That's perfection, food perfection right there.
Chips and salsa.
Who makes your favorite cheese stick in Chicago?
I don't think I have a preference. I don't think I'm even aware.
You know who makes a secretly good cheese stick?
Who?
Leona's. They do a cheese log.
I'm down for a cheese log.
A log of cheese, fried cheese. I mean, that's...
I haven't been to Leona's in forever. I used to live over by Pratt and Sheridan, so that was like the go-to.
Oh, yeah, there was that one right up there.
Rogers Park, yeah. That was a place. And the guy who owned Leona's was like the main guy behind the Illinois Restaurant Association for a while.
Really?
Sam Toya, yeah.
I actually live a block away from the Leona's in Ukrainian Village. I don't go as often as I, in my head, would want to go.
But they have a cheese log.
They have
it's
a cheese log.
All right, so ManBQ, the new book, Eat Street, the ManBQ Guide to Making Street Food at Home, written by you, John Carruthers, John Scholl. That is available for pre-order on Amazon. The thing about ManBQ, it is built on meat, beer, and rock and roll. I want to talk some rock and roll with you. So can you hang out? We'll go through some of the big rock and roll stories happening.
Of course.
Specifically, Guns N' Roses. We'll get to that after the news on WGN. WGN 720. James Van Osler here with Jesse Valenciana, the man behind ManBQ. It is a grilling club. It's a social thing. A couple of cookbooks. One in print, one on the way, called Eat Street, the ManBQ Guide to Making Street Food at Home. Jesse, rock and roll is a thing with ManBQ.
It sure is.
ManBQ wouldn't exist without rock and roll. I thought we'd talk about some of what's going on in the world of
rock
and
roll.
I'm
really excited.
First of all, rumors have been going on for a while about an official, for real, Guns N' Roses reunion. There's a new report that says the announcement of a GNR reunion is literally within the next couple days.
How do you feel about this?
Long overdue.
Yeah, but so I was thinking about this on the ride over here because this is important to me.
I see that.
So do I listen to this? Do I get excited because they're going to get together, or do I get a little bit excited and go see them and go, oh, man, like, I shouldn't have done that?
I don't know. I mean, because we've seen the band, like the players in the band in Velvet Revolver, and they're still kind of great.
I didn't like Velvet Revolver.
Seeing them on stage, I mean, it's the Guns N' Roses guys. They can still play. I mean, regardless of if you like the songs, they're still the Guns N' Roses guys.
But it was like, okay, what was that band that Rage? It was Rage Against the Machine and Chris
Audio
Cornell.
Audioslave.
So those bands to me was like, I was talking to a friend about it, and I said, you know, you go to a karaoke, a live band karaoke bar, and there's Rage Against the Machine playing, and then Chris Cornell comes out of the audience and sings some songs. I'm like, it's just not...
You're a purist.
I am.
I think it's long overdue. I believe, truly believe, that no band stays broken up forever. At some point, I mean, there are like three exceptions to that rule, including the Smiths.
Yeah.
But everyone comes back together at some point.
I kind of feel that they should just keep it that way. They should keep us wanting them to get back together and just never do it because, I mean, Axl's like 300 pounds now.
He is. But, I mean, for those of us or for an entire generation or two that never had the chance to see Guns N' Roses, it's kind of exciting. I mean, for me, like, if Led Zeppelin had got back together in some way, shape, or form,
man,
after John Bonham died, I would have paid any price to see that.
Same here.
So I think for some people, this is like their Zeppelin.
It's funny because if you bring up Guns N' Roses, you know, people, there's so many stories. A lot of people had tickets to a show that never happened, mm-hmm. stuff like that. You know, like I had tickets and Axl got arrested or whatever. So it would be cool to finally have those people have their day in front of Axl.
Yeah, I think this is exciting if it does happen. It's too bad it couldn't happen in time for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But there it is. Do you like art rock? Do you like esoteric, abstract art rock?
Not crazy about it.
I don't. Baltimore-based experimental music duo Matmos has announced that their new album, Ultimate Care 2, will be composed entirely of sounds made by the Whirlpool Ultimate Care 2 washing machine in the basement of the group's home.
Wow.
That is a real thing. The album will run in a single, continuous 30-minute experience, which is the length of a wash cycle. This album cover should just look like it should just have a picture of a middle finger on it. If you're listening to that, shame on you. This is metal machine music.
When you get them in the studio to interview them, can I join you so we can throw tomatoes at them?
That'll happen. Were you at AC/DC at Wrigley Field?
I wasn't. I was out of town.
Of course you were. I didn't go. Seen AC/DC before. I love AC/DC. Powerage is one of my Desert Island discs. But from what I heard, the drinking at the AC/DC show at Wrigley like took whatever happens at a Cubs game and took it to levels previously unseen. Like, people were trying to steal cups off vendors' trays. Like, it was obnoxious, which is interesting. That perspective is interesting. AC/DC fans are barred from drinking near a September concert in Auckland, New Zealand. There's been a ruling, a ban that says consumption will not happen. If you're fined, if you're found drinking in the area, it's a $250 fine.
Wow.
They're serious.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's no fun.
That's no fun. So you got to pregame somewhere.
You have to black out before you get
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but that wears off before the opening band's done.
Carried him in there.
It's a bummer. Jack Russell, who you may remember as the former frontman of Great White.
Oh, yeah.
Is working on a documentary. Great White, of course, was involved in this horrible situation in Rhode Island. A fire at the club caused by pyro. Hundred people died. It was an awful situation. So he's building a documentary so he can finally tell his story, get things off his chest. He describes the incident as the 9/11 of rock and roll.
Wow.
It was a horrible catastrophe. It was a disaster in every sense of the word. I don't think I'd compare anything to, I just, that seems like a taboo. You don't say anything is the 9/11 of anything else.
So, for the record, it's not a self-serving documentary by any means.
No, no.
But it is the 9/11 of, wow.
Yeah. Foghat, I know you love the classic rock. You're just laughing because I'm giving you a Foghat story. They're crowdfunding the new album. See, wow. This is how advanced social media is, to the point where these 60-plus-year-old classic rockers are using social media to help them make a new album.
I guess the Kane County Fair circuit is not paying enough.
I'll tell you, man, if you can have a couple hits as a band, you can go on being in that band forever. There will always be a need.
I'm glad you said that, James, because I wanted to talk about a band that will never get back together, and I'm sad about it. And I know you guys will be just as disappointed. Savage Garden, they refuse to get back together. I don't understand why.
They're truly, madly, deeply
never
going
to
get back together.
I don't think I know who Savage Garden is.
It's two dudes. It's two guys from Australia.
They're not very savage, are they?
No, they're not.
No. Savagery may not be their thing.
It's like the Backstreet Boys. Like, what Backstreet? Who was that? Some comedian was talking about Backstreet Boys. And like, what Backstreet are you from? Like,
right.
Sesame Street?
So, anyways, Foghat's looking for some dough. They're on Pledge Music. And some of the reward levels are fantastic. You can have drummer Roger Earl cook a meal for you or read a bedtime story to your child.
No, get away from my kid.
Yeah, do you want a creepy 60-plus-year-old guy to read Goodnight Moon to your kid? Nope. So the album's called Under the Influence. Good luck to Foghat on that. Kurt Cobain's Unplugged sweater, the sweater he wore on MTV's Unplugged, sold for $137,000.
Wow.
Or what? Specifically, $137,500. It's pretty iconic.
Yeah. I went out to thrift stores, and, you know, I modeled my 90s fashion sense after Kurt Cobain's.
You're not the only one.
Yeah.
Do you have any rock memorabilia, like stuff you've...
I used to have a bunch of stuff, and my mom's house, I would keep it in the basement, and she's had a few floods, and most of the stuff that I had was just kind of wiped away and washed away. It was terrible.
Was there something you treasured more than others?
I had a Heineken bottle signed by Phil from Pantera.
That's pretty sweet.
He remembered, I had met him at a Rolling Stone Records signing, and then like 6 months later, they played a show, and he remembered my shirt. I had it looked like McDonald's, but it said marijuana, and it was before, it was just like an ironic shirt. I was a skateboard kid, and he remembered. He's like, yeah, and he walked around with me, and he called me his guy. He's like, that's my guy, and I'm like, oh my God.
I'm Phil's guy.
Yeah, I'm Phil's dude. And then I remember he offered me, somebody threw a pack of joints on stage. He's like, you want one? I'm
a
like,
pack?
Yeah. It was like a pack of cigarettes, but it was loaded with joints, and he asked me if I wanted one. I'm like, you know, trying to be cool. I'm like, oh, I've had so many. I'm good. Yeah. And then he had a bottle of Heineken that he was chugging, and I was like, hey, Phil, can I have that? Like Mean Joe Green, can I have that bottle
of totally.
Heineken? And he's like, yeah. And I thought he forgot about me. He set it down, and all these people went to grab it, and he pulled it up, and that's when he said, no, it's for my guy or my man, whatever. And
so here's a guy who spent the 90s in the throes of addiction, and somehow he remembered you.
Yeah.
That's impressive stuff.
That was right before he got into, that's when he was still like kind of buff and like coherent.
I'm here with Jesse Valenciana from ManBQ. That's pretty impressive.
I miss that Heineken bottle.
Yeah, that's a drag. Here's how I feel old. Billy Idol was just tapped to play a residency at the House of Blues in Vegas. So, I mean, this is something that Penn and Teller do, Celine Dion. Billy Idol's doing it. I mean, I grew up listening to Billy Idol, and now he's the old man playing the residency.
But he's still playing shows like Riot Fest and stuff.
I mean, true, but that was tokenism. He was the token old man on the bill. So that starts, it was announced this week. It'll happen in March and May. Tickets are $80.
Is it now like the Billy Idol experience, or is it just him doing a show? Because if it's like a Billy Idol experience and, you know, like some add some theater behind the music.
It's just going to be a rock and roll show.
Eh.
It'll be a hit parade, though.
Yeah.
You'll get your Rebel Yell, your White Wedding. If you're lucky, Do Not Stand in the Shadows. Love that one.
You're going deep, man. You're going way deep.
I can't help it. Bad news, David Lee Roth has a solo album already recorded, ready to go.
Yeah. I met him, and he was one of the creepiest people I've ever met. He pierced through me. He's got the weirdest, his smile wouldn't go away, and it was like he was a zombie. And
I went to that Van Halen show this year. At the venue in Tinley Park, it was rough. It was rough to watch. It felt so sterile. There was no energy or like legit energy.
Yeah.
Van Halen should feel like just raw sexual charisma hitting you in the chest. There was none of that. It felt like Walmart produced the show. It was really just bland, and
it was sponsored by Viagra and Walmart.
It was a bummer too. I mean, because the set list—if you look at the set list from that Van Halen tour this summer—it was like a fan's dream list.
So was it bad where like you closed your eyes and it was still terrible?
Uh huh.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and that's just sad. No zero chemistry, no surprise. But
yeah, they hate each other.
They do. At 1 a.m., Gorilla Tango's Game of Thongs team will be in here. Gorilla Tango Burlesque. So Jesse, you may want to stay around and leer and be creepy.
Can I keep my pants on?
Yes, you must. In fact, because we are streaming this live on WGNRadio.com. Jesse from ManBQ is here. We'll be right back on WGN.